So the reason that we're doing this presentation is that trustees in bankruptcy and U.S. trustee staff receive these form letters in toxic tort settlements like the mesh settlements or asbestos or whatever. And the forms have a box at the bottom that says, this is property of the estate and we claim it, or this is not property of the estate and we don't claim it. So I received this letter and I thought about how it was going to go if I checked one of those boxes and somebody went to the bankruptcy court and the bankruptcy judge disagreed with me. And then I thought it might be my ticket on the line. So I did not want to be checking the boxes on these form letters, because you receive in the letter a date when, say, the mesh was put in surgically. Maybe you receive a date when it was removed. And then you receive the amount of the settlement with a particular defendant. So these are the issues that I perceive with that. Number one, when does the cause of action accrue under state law? And what state law applies, which you don't get in the letter. You don't know if the debtor's moved. You don't know where the debtor had the surgery originally. All of this stuff is in the air. And let's say, as in one of the seminal cases involved in the discovery rule, which is one of the rules that typically applies in these toxic tort cases, the debtor had the surgery a year later in 2006. The debtor had surgery to remove the mesh. The doctor may or may not have said at the time of the removal that it was caused because of the mesh. The notes are unclear, so that might be a question of fact. And then in 2012, the debtor sees an ad on television about mesh causing damage and harm and hires the attorneys. And there is case law that says it's at the time of the commercial, especially if she was not informed by her attorney. I don't think that the courts are going to hold the debtor to a standard of disclosing before the case law holds that the debtor should have reasonably known for purposes of the statute of limitations. So this is a state law issue. And as Professor Westbrook said, we start with the state law issues. So this morning when he was talking. So, okay, let's say it's discovered in 2012 and the courts hold that's the day. What if the plan ended in 2008? Do you have to disclose then? Do you say that there's a date that's different because you had the surgery in 2006? I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is that, as Carolyn has just gone through, the debtor has an affirmative duty to figure out this information and to provide it to us. Okay, so now you've gotten past your state law accrual issue and you've done some analysis of whether or not it's property of the estate. Then you get into, let's say, that the cause of action accrued in 2008 because that's when it was removed and the doctor clearly advised the patient debtor that the mesh was the source of the harm. And there's no question that that's, for whatever reason, that's when it would have accrued. All right, and the plan's being performed in 2008. It's already been confirmed, but it's being performed. Well, then you get to a series of five different approaches under the case law about how you harmonize Section 1306 and Section 1327. And we do not, in the Fifth Circuit, yet have dispositive case law on this issue. And indeed, the case law in the Northern District of Texas is not the same between the bankruptcy judge and one of the older district judge opinion. The opinion is older. One of the older district court opinions from a different division. So, and then we have some opinions in the Southern District of Texas. So I'm just going to go generally over what the different views are. One is that the estate is terminated on confirmation. One is that the estate is transformed on confirmation, and so that the property revests to the extent that it was disclosed, but that it wasn't disclosed, such as these causes of action must be, it remains in the estate. There's some cases that hold that the estate is conditionally revested subject to completion of the plan. Okay, so you get past that division of case law. Then you get to a split of authority about when you conduct the liquidation test. And the majority view is if that the property is determined to be an asset of the estate, then the liquidation is going test and the fair and equitable test is going to be reconsidered at the point that the asset comes in. Then you got the 60-month rule. Some parties have tried to argue that if it's after the 60-month rule, you can't put the property in. I think the majority view on that is that it still comes in, it must be distributed.